Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Ross Kimborowski's here. Ross has become a new member of our Brain Trust over the last couple of years. He's a founder and CEO of CrowdSpring. He's a recovering attorney. Took the 12-step program, and he's all healed, all well now, and although he was a super lawyer, he was recognized as a super lawyer, so that's good. But he's now become, we're happy to say, a branding expert, and we can use all the help we can get. Ross, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you back. So there have been some pretty interesting branding stories of late. I'm thinking about, what was it that the people with IHOP. Do you think that was International House of Burgers? That was the little trick they tried to pull. You think that was a real trick, or was was it like the new Coke thing of 30 years ago? What do you think?
It was a stunt. They just wanted to do a stunt and get a little bit of attention.
You think it was a real stunt? Media. It wasn't a misstep. It was a real stunt.
No. I think it was a real stunt. I think they wanted to talk about a bigger menu, and they wanted to find a way to get people to pay attention. And
was
their brand
it,
is a good way to get people
or,
to pay attention.
Was it genius or a mistake?
Hard to say, because I haven't seen what the results of their sales have been.
We're still talking about it.
Of market confusion. People are talking about, which is often very good. Although for branding, just the fact that people talk about it doesn't mean that the talk is positive. And I'll give you a good example currently. You know, there are a number of reasons why companies rebrand. And so let's take Uber, which is a company that just rebranded for the second time in 3 years. They had a really good, strong rebrand about 3 years ago, but there's been a lot of negative attention about Uber. They've had some issues with drivers. They've had issues with whether drivers are employees or contractors. They've had a lot of legal issues with the various areas where they've launched. And so there's a lot of negative connotations with that brand. And so that kind of attention, while some people say is good, has really tarnished their image in the eyes of their customers. And so just recently they went and changed their brand, kept the name but changed the brand, which used to be very heavily masculine, big letters, kind of thicker. And they went to a more a softer rebrand that was focusing more on safety. So here's a brand that was getting a lot of attention, and some people say any publicity is good publicity, but for them it just wasn't.
Yeah.
And so they were forced to do something a little different.
Well, do you think that was the right thing to do? I mean, do you think that what they did is going to be successful? Should you react in that way? I mean, is it, some people might say that it's an admission that you were wrong. But should you just take your medicine and move it in another direction?
I do think it was the right thing for them to do. So there comes a point for nearly every business where your public persona, your public image, is a little different from what you intended, or a lot different in Uber's case from what you intended. And so the question is, how do you move? Because ultimately, if you think about, you know, what a brand is, a brand is the sum total of the experiences your customers and prospects have with your company. It communicates what your company does, how it does it, and establishes some trust and credibility. And they lost that trust and credibility. And so they're a pretty new company, but they still felt like they needed to do something. And by the way, this is not just newer companies that do this. DuPont just recently rebranded after two chemical giants, Dow and DuPont, merged in 2016. And this is a company that started back in 1802.
Oh, yeah, the
1800s. Hundreds of years ago.
The 19th century. So some of these.
And they had this iconic logo.
Some of these brands are reacting to the news cycle. like Papa John's and you were talking about Uber and that kind of thing. But some of them are reacting to market forces, demographics, like Dunkin', right?
Absolutely. So Dunkin' Donuts, Weight Watchers, I would put them in the same class. They are facing changing consumer preferences. So in the case of both of those companies, people are eating fewer sugary things. They're trying to eat healthier. Millennials, Gen Z are less about diets, more about health.
But if Dunkin' doesn't stand for donuts anymore, I mean, why would I go there? I mean, I've got lots of other healthy choices. Why would I want to go to a place that used to sell me donuts? If I go to Dunkin' Donuts, I'm going for the donuts. I'm not going to go for their paninis. You know, I can go somewhere else and get a panini that I already know is good. Why would I do that? I mean, aren't some of these companies getting into a situation where they're confusing? They've kind of confused their customers, and or the way they're reacting, they're responding is actually kind of almost desperation. This is a lesson for small businesses in this, I think. What do you think?
It is a lesson, and in some cases it could be a desperation move. In other cases, it's a move that's simply necessary. So yes, people still love donuts, and even though Dunkin' is shortening the name, Dunkin' Donuts is shortening the name to Dunkin', people still associate them with donuts. They just sell fewer of them, and they have some more healthier items.
Not 5 years, if they. I mean, I don't know. I would be more likely to have said. I mean, not that I'm certainly not as smart as their branding guys, I guess, but I might have said Dunkin' Donuts and paninis or something. Dunkin' Donuts and sandwiches, you know. What is it? Homewood Inns and Suites. You know,
that's tough because when you have a name, and so there are companies that definitely rebrand. Dunkin' is a good example. When you have a name, you don't want the name to be too specific. And this is the problem that Dunkin' Donuts ran into. Their name was far too specific around what they sold.
That's the reason the International House of Pancakes became IHOP, right? And KFC.
Exactly.
And KFC.
Exactly. They wanted, and this is a big lesson for businesses, because if you think about, you know, what is a name, what is a logo, if you sort of set aside all of the trends and fancy fonts and at its core, your logo, your name has to embody your brand. It has to be instantly recognizable. It has to be versatile and timeless. And so for a lot of businesses, you get to a point where it doesn't do those kinds of things, because everything else about a logo is optional. You don't need to have an icon. You don't need to have a fancy font. But it does have to embody what you do. It has to be recognizable, because if people can't recognize it, then they have no idea who you are. They can't tell
their friends. Have to do it without thinking about it and without reading it. They have to just see it and know what they're seeing. Hold on to that thought. We're going to apply this to small business, what you need to do for your small business, after the break with Ross Kimborowski.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.